that I do in a public bathroom in an hour and 15 minutes. I did something in a public bathroom that I have no apology for and would do it again. That in an hour and 15 minutes. We ask you if you think it's a great idea to ticket people who want to give money to the unhoused. That this hour, along with John Wright for Right and Wrong. But mostly, we sit back with our love affair of the movies and we try to, I think this will be fun. Most interesting or best movie cameo is on the way. On the iHeart Talk Radio Network, it's The Draft.
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeart Radio Talk Network.
Yes. It's The Draft for this Tuesday, May the 23rd, 2023. Our two draftees on the topic of best movie cameo include the producer of The Rush, that is the afternoon drive show on the Toronto radio station. Ben Harrison joins us. Ben, thank you very much for your time. Okay, then. And also Mark Weingust, who is the editor-in-chief of Laird Butter. Thank you very much for your time as well, Mark.
Hey, Jim. Hope everything's going all right tonight.
Everything has been fantastic. First of all, let's have both of you tell us what the hell your jobs are. We say it every week, I know, Mark, but explain Laird Butter again to people.
So Laird Butter is a community that some friends and I in the GTA started up in the pandemic. And with Laird Butter, we try to showcase artists within our hobby, up-and-coming film writers to talk about film. On our subscriber Patreon, last week, in honor of Fast X coming out in theaters, we released a small little digital issue featuring new art and new essays talking about the Fast and Furious franchise.
All right. Listen, $67 million at the box office. Do you think that that will encourage more people to make, I don't know, a sequel?
I think that no Fast and Furious movie is too large for them to make now. I feel that they need to go higher, better, and stronger. All those Bond films throughout the years, their stunts have been going over the top and crazy. Mission Impossible, over the top and crazy. Fast and Furious, they got to match that.
To me, I think they may have lost me. I was a huge fan, and I honestly think that that Fast and Furious 5 is as good as any action movie, but now it's a little ridiculous. Ben Harrison, who is the producer of The Rush in Toronto and News Talk 1010. Ben, Mark explained Laird Butter. Could you explain AM radio to us?
Oh, goodness, Jim. I need a whole other segment to do that.
Right.
I produce radio. Reshmi Nair and I work together on figuring out what we're going to talk about for 4 hours every day. And we cover the top stories going on in Toronto and across Canada, around the world, and we bring on smart people to talk about those stories.
Exactly. All right, let's get started. Tony, who won the coin toss earlier today?
And I flipped a coin, and it was Ben Harrison who won the coin toss this time.
All right, because I was going to say that maybe Ben and Tony might have had a conflict of interest, because the last time round, I thought Mark won the coin toss the past couple of times. So it's good to see that there is not a conflict of interest there. Ben, you are first up on the docket. What is your first overall pick for cameo in a movie?
My first pick, the number one overall pick, it's got to be Tom Cruise in the movie Tropic Thunder.
What do you need, Peck?
I'm more like, what do you need, Les? Glasses?
Look, stick, I'm incredibly busy, so why don't you get the hell out of here before I snap your off and jam it into your
You know what? That's a stealth one to me. I didn't even remember that one, Ben.
You know, a lot of audiences didn't even know that he was going to be in the movie when it came out in 2008, Jim. For my money, one of the best summers for blockbusters, comedies, action movies of all time. And Tropic Thunder is an absolute comedy classic. a certified banger. Tom Cruise poking fun at his image at a moment when his career really needed a big boost, a turnaround, donning all of that prosthetics and makeup to transform into the terrible movie producer Les Grossman. It is just as good as Hollywood satire gets, and for my money, it's the best cameo of all time.
So that is him coming off of being ridiculous and jumping up and down on the couch. Is that what he came off of?
Yeah, that was about 2 years removed from Oprah, from jumping up and down, and I think he needed a role to disappear into, and that's why it's such a great role for him.
All right, first overall pick on the clock for Mark Weingast of Layered Butter. What do you have for best movie cameo?
Now, when I think of cameos, I think of people who play against type, who lean into being funny. And to me, one of my favorite all-time musicians is David Bowie, and his cameo in Zoolander is to me an all-timer.
All right, who's going to call this sucker?
If nobody has any objections, I believe I might be of service.
All right. I see, these are so great because I've seen all these movies, but these things don't stick out to me. So, yeah, David Bowie in Zoolander, that's pretty cool, Mark.
Now, for me, Bowie is never one to shy away from being funny. He is a funny guy himself. If you've seen his cameos in shows like Extras or in SpongeBob SquarePants, he actually has done a voice in that show.
Okay.
Yeah. But with Zoolander, because his persona in the 90s, I'd say was a little bit against hype from what people expected in the 70s and the 80s, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek to see him in a very silly movie as Zoolander, judging a walk-off. Because he's a fashion icon. He's a pop star. He was married to a model himself.
Yeah.
So who else to judge male model walk-offs than the Halloween Jack, Thin White Duke, Ziggy Stardust, all these great personas.
All right. We might have to do a hurry up in the second segment because I want to ask both of you guys a question. Do you have any idea how, like, these are usually secrets that aren't blown until you're in the theater, meaning the movie reviewers all don't want to be spoilers and tell you that Tom Cruise is in Tropic Thunder or David Bowie. Are there NDAs there, or how is that done? How are these things kept secret to the last second, Ben?
Well, Jim, it's kind of a bit of marketing trickery and magic. Most of the time, if there are things that a studio doesn't want an audience to know, there will be embargoes on overall reactions, reviews, where they get into the plot details until the movie comes out. Sometimes, though, studios want that information out there. With the most recent Fast and Furious movie, there was a cameo from someone, I won't say who, but they were completely fine with people tweeting about it afterwards. So it always kind of depends on the studio and what they want the reaction to be like and what they want word of mouth to be like around their movie.
There was almost an opposite of a cameo. I remember Samuel Jackson when in this movie, I think it was about sharks, and they marketed the whole movie on him, and he died like in the first 5 minutes. I thought it was brilliant. Anyway,
I think you're referring to Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, Deep
way
Blue
back
Sea.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Okay, we've got time for the first pick of the second round. Ben, you're on the clock. What do you got?
Oh, Jim, it's a one-scene wonder. It's Christopher Walken with his famous monologue in Pulp Fiction.
Hello, little man. Boy, I sure heard a bunch about you. See, I was a good friend of your dad's. We were in that Hanoi pit of hell together over 5 years. Hopefully, you'll never have to experience this yourself, but when two men are in a situation like me and your dad were for as long as we were, you take on certain responsibilities of the other.
Good stuff. We'll get Ben to chime in on that, and we'll be back with Mark's second overall pick as well. Best movie cameos. I'm Jim Richards, and this is the iHeartTalk Radio Network and The Draft.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello, man. Boy, I sure heard a bunch about you. See, I was a good friend of your dad's. We were in that Hanoi pit of hell together over 5 years. Hopefully, you'll never have to experience this yourself, but when
Is Christopher Walken in the movie Pulp Fiction. That is Ben's second overall pick. We're doing movie cameos. This is the draft. It's like a sports draft with two teams putting together their roster of the best movies with the best cameos in them. Did you want to mention that Pulp Fiction scene? Because to have a cameo in that movie is pretty cool.
Oh, what a cameo. In a movie that's kind of secretly full of a bunch of cameos, Quentin Tarantino's 1994 slam dunk hit, Pulp Fiction. That one scene wonder from Christopher Walken, it's so funny. And it kind of started the modern career of Christopher Walken in terms of him being a cult favorite, playing that weird, goofy, affected persona that we've seen in so many movies since then. It's a scene-stealing role. And man, it always... It always makes me laugh every time I see.
There are a lot of cameos in there. I thought of the movie This Is the End, too, that almost every thing in there is a cameo. Channing Tatum is an especially odd cameo in that movie. Let's move along, though, because Mark has the number two overall pick for his team. What is the pick, Mark?
Now, I'm going to be as quick as this person's cameo, but if we're going to go in terms of how quick he appears, it's a blink and you'll miss it. It's Marshall McLuhan in Woody Allen's Annie Hall.
So I think that my insights into Mr. McLuhan will have a great deal of validity.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny because I happen to have Mr. McLuhan right here. So yeah, just let me come over here a second.
Oh, tell him. I heard what you were saying. You know nothing of my work. You mean my whole fallacy is wrong. How you ever got to teach a course in anything is totally amazing.
Boy, if life were only like this.
It's interesting, though, because they're both Canadian. They're both Canadian. Clearly, Marshall McLuhan was a very quotable guy a while ago, maybe two, three decades ago. And now Jordan Peterson seems to be, for different reasons, the guy who's quotable from Canada. But that was a very cool and kind of that was kind of Woody Allen, Mark, breaking down the third wall.
The fourth wall.
Fourth wall,
in fact.
Yes.
But in those few seconds that he is on screen, you know, I'm sure your audience is very familiar with McLuhan's work in terms of his famous expression, the medium is the message, or his concept of the global village. But the fact that Woody Allen takes this kind of scenario and brings him out in this kind of fact-checking in real time, which seems very commonplace now with Twitter, you know, in 1977, bringing out a guy like Marshall to call out an academic, someone who you think is very pretentious, is just so funny in concept that it's a cameo that I'm sure sticks out in your audience's mind as well.
No, it's great. It's fantastic. Ben, your third overall pick, what is it going to be?
Oh, I'll keep it short and sweet, Jim, this time around. It's Matt Damon with his scene-stealing turn in Eurotrip.
Hey, listen up, everybody. Got a little special thing I'd like to do tonight. I'll play a little song for you about the nastiest, freakiest little sex puppet I know, Fiona.
What? Can you remind us what Eurotrip was, Ben?
It's a raunchy R-rated comedy from the early 2000s, Jim, the kind of dumb teen comedies that I watched all the time growing up. Matt Damon has a very quick little turn as a punk rock singer. It was a weird, weird little turn that they were able to get such an A-lister to show up in this silly comedy.
Very cool. So reminder, we're going to want you to vote for Team Ben or Team Mark a little bit later on. Ben has been Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder, also Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction, and the last one there, Matt Damon in Eurotrip, then a three overall pick now for Mark. Mark, what is your third overall pick?
Now, I'm going to go for another music choice as well, kind of matching Ben in this sake, but I'm going to go with the godfather of shock rock himself, Alice Cooper in Wayne.
Come to Milwaukee often?
Well, I'm a regular visitor here, but Milwaukee has certainly had its share of visitors. The French missionaries and explorers were coming here as early as the late 1600s to trade with the Native Americans.
In fact, isn't Milwaukee an Indian name?
Yes, Pete, it is. Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
That's really, it's funny. I know people stereotype rock stars, but I think if you sat down and you talked to Alice Cooper without seeing what he looked like, people would be shocked, Mark.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. The best kind of cameos in these comedy movies are the ones where you can get someone's persona and play them so straight that it becomes so iconic. And so the fact that you have Alice Cooper, a guy that people would deem very scary looking, very intimidating, it's this kind of laid back guy who's very knowledgeable specifically about Milwaukee and its history.
Yeah. All right.
It just shows why we're not worthy.
That's true. Let's do the fourth overall pick right now. Ben is on the clock. What do you have, Ben, for your fourth overall? A very relatable scene.
Oh, Jim, well, my fourth overall is a group cameo from 2004's Anchorman. It's that classic scene where they get the whole frat pack together. Everybody, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Luke Wilson, everybody.
Rub Vaseline all over your hiney and tell you that it's special and different from everyone else's.
He's in hiney.
Brick, get back over here. ¿Cómo están? Spanish language news is here. Tonight's top story. The sewers run red.
So that's the scene, Ben, with the anchor, all the anchor man fight. I guess like we're Channel 2 meets Channel 4 and Channel 7 and Ben Stiller from the Latino channel there.
The movie that made me want to get into broadcasting, Jim.
Oh, is it? Okay. Frat Pack with the whole gang there in Anchorman. What is your fourth overall pick here, Mark?
Well, it's not specifically a group cameo, but it's a duo, a best friends cameo. It's Matt Damon and Ben Affleck in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Lips, teeth, tongue, or lion face?
Lion face.
Lion face?
Ha!
Lemon face.
Mm.
Lion face.
Ha!
Lemon face.
Mm.
Break it down.
Where are we taking it from, Gus? Gus?
I'm busy.
You're a true artist, Gus.
Just take it from it's a good course.
What, you're the director now?
Hey, shove it, bounce boy. Let's remember who talked to into doing this in the first place. I mean, talking me into dogma is one thing.
What's really interesting here is that they were famous at this time and really helping to do a solid for their friend Kevin Smith.
Well, not just that, but Kevin Smith was also responsible for producing Good Will Hunting, which won them the Oscar. But, you know, because they're two best friends and it's a film full of fourth wall breaks, you know, it's a line that Ben also brings up. Sometimes you got to do the safe picture, then the art picture. Then sometimes you got to do the payback picture because your friend says you owe him.
Very good. Ben, fifth overall pick.
My final pick, Jim, Drew Barrymore in Scream, the perfect example of that short turn. It's a surprise from an actor.
Please leave me alone.
Answer the question and I will. What door am I at?
What?
There are two main doors to your house.
So that's Ben pick number five. Sorry, Ben, we don't have time to get into it deeper. What about your fifth and overall pick here, Mark?
I'm going with Mr. Price is Right himself, Bob Barker.
Welcome to soggy San Francisco, the site of this year's Pepsi Pro-Am.
How are you doing, Happy?
I'm Bob Barker.
Wow, what an honor. Nice to meet you.
Looks like you and I are going to be playing together
That's
today.
From Happy Gilmore. Guys, thank you very much for your time. Sorry we don't have more time. I just want to run down your lists. Ben for best cameo in a movie, Tropic Thunder, Tom Cruise, Christopher Walken, Pulp Fiction, Matt Damon, Euro Trip, Frat Pack in Anchorman, and also Drew Barrymore in Scream. For Mark, it is Bob Barker, as you just heard, and Happy Gilmore, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Alice Cooper was in Wayne's World. Marshall McLuhan and Annie Hall and David Bowie in Zoolander. Vote Ben or Mark at 7-10-10, and we thank them for their help on the draft.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
That would be correct, and thank you very much for your time. Before we get back to the regularly scheduled broadcast, a reminder that you can find this, whatever this is, and all of its goodness, you can find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts and download it, or just follow and subscribe. That's what I do. I just follow and subscribe. So do that whenever you can. Follow and subscribe. News Talk Tonight with the aforementioned Jim Richards. Reminder tomorrow, if you're concerned about what Pierre Poilievre might say in detail on the fact that there will not be an inquiry into election interference, Jerry Agar has here on the show tomorrow. That's on the Toronto station. If you would like to listen to News Talk 1010 on the iHeart Talk Radio Network, which is available on, I was going to say Jerry's show is actually on a portion of the network in Ontario, but not in places like Ottawa and Montreal. So let's wrap up one more time to get your votes at 7-10-10. We've got a lot of people thinking that we were doing, hey, what's your favorite movie or cameo? And we appreciate all of them. Some great ones on the text board at 7-10-10. But we were just going with who do you think has a better list. Here are the two lists again. Mark had Zoolander. David Bowie was in that. Annie Hall, great movie. Marshall McLuhan made a cameo in that to settle an argument about quoting Marshall McLuhan. It was kind of a neat idea. Wayne's World had Alice Cooper. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck paid back the director of Jay and Silent Bob, Bob Strikes Back. What was his name? What is that guy's name? Kevin Smith is his name. And then he had Bob Barker on Happy Gilmore. So Ben's list was Drew Barrymore in Scream. Tropic Thunder had Tom Cruise as a cameo. Pulp Fiction had Christopher Walken. Matt Damon was on Eurotrip. And Frat Pack. I didn't know those guys were known as the Frat Pack, but that's Ben Affleck. Sorry, not Ben Affleck. That is that whole crowd during the Anchorman scene, fight scene in Anchorman. So let's get to what we've been talking about tonight, which we've been alluding to the fact that we wanted to dig a little deeper on what is going on in Barrie. Barrie has decided that it is going to, it is possibly going to charge people who might give money to homeless people, which sounds a little harsh, if you ask me, and that is what a former Barrie councillor actually said.
I think it's absurd. This motion doesn't just miss the mark on the issue of homelessness. It actually puts a target right on the backs of people experiencing homelessness. By looking to increase enforcement and add offenses related to homelessness to our bylaws, Barrie City Council is actually contributing to the demonization, criminalization, and marginalization of people experiencing homelessness in this city.
So we asked somebody who specializes in this kind of stuff, community engagement, Diana Chan McNally, who works in Toronto with people who are unhoused, about, you know, the fact that we've seen this kind of stuff before, where it's almost like you need to say, hey, why are you homeless in the first place? But first, Diana, answer that question. Haven't we seen this kind of stuff before?
This particular kind of ban?
Yeah.
It has a presence in BC, so there are municipalities that have this kind of bylaw in place. And then at the provincial level, we have the Safe Streets Act. And that came under the Mike Harris government. And basically, like, we've done a lot of research on this, and what it shows is that basically all it does is just make homelessness less visible. It doesn't actually do anything to address homelessness. So we know this. We have studies about this, but for some reason, we still keep doing it.
It's so funny you say that, because I was like reading about it today thinking, oh, it's like they just want to tell people stop being homeless and the problem's going to go away.
That's basically it. And what, you're going to ticket somebody? Well, okay, so now you're actually adding on an additional cost. Are you asking them to panhandle more now to pay the ticket? Like, it's just this completely ludicrous system that doesn't work. Yeah.
That's a really good point about the paying, because then let's say somebody does, you know, get themselves housing and finds themselves a job, and then they get into all sorts of job interviews, and, you know, they have all of these tickets they have to pay off, and it becomes just an unbelievable circle.
Yeah, absolutely. And on top of that, it costs the public money to have people who are going around and enacting this bylaw enforcement. So we're paying for this cycle that doesn't actually make any sense and does incur this extra cost, not just to people who are homeless, but for all of us who are paying for this policing needlessly.
Yeah. And so we're going to ticket to somebody who doesn't have the wherewithal to even put food in their mouth. I mean, I'm sure there are tons of people without housing that have no wherewithal to pay a fine, and it probably doesn't register either.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know what it's like in Barrie, but I know in the city of Toronto, and there's been research done about this, we know that about 10% of all interactions between the police and the public are with people who are homeless, and largely just to ticket them for things like this. So it clearly is just creating this huge policing cost, again, just to essentially harm people who don't have the ability to actually pay off any of these tickets.
So what do you say to people who are concerned about their downtown, whether it's Barrie, whether it's any BIA in the Toronto area or Montreal or Ottawa, who are listening right now, who would be like, okay, so how do we tell people who might be, because of news headlines, afraid to come downtown because they don't want to interact with people who they think might be mentally ill?
I mean, it's unfortunate. I think there's this lot of conflation between people who are homeless and mental illness. And to be sure, if you are living homeless, that's a very stressful, traumatic situation. So obviously there's going to be impacts on your mental health. But it's not about being afraid of people. It's about understanding that they've been put at risk. We are not giving them the most basic resources they need to survive, things that ensure the right to life, housing, food, a livable income. And if people are here, they're not doing well, and they're panhandling, it's because they don't have any other choice. There's no other way that they can actually survive. So even if we enact bylaws like this, it's not going to make a difference. People will still need to find money somehow. And so you'll still see panhandling. But then again, we're just going to add this extra cost on top of it needlessly. So don't be afraid of people. Just, you know, we need to advocate to our governments that we need to be able to support everybody and ensure that they have access to housing, a livable income, and all the things that ensure the right to life.
I think circling back to your original point that there's no evidence to prove that this stuff actually works.
No evidence whatsoever. And in fact, I've been in U.S. cities where there are similar laws like this, and I've seen just how poorly people are doing. And in fact, they just sit there. They don't engage with you. You can tell that people are not eating. They're not clean. They're not doing well, far worse than I've seen here. And part of that is because they cannot ask for anything because they will be ticketed and so will I if I give them anything.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, the city is trying to paint this as like, yo, we want to help and we want you to pay your money when you're concerned to this special charity and we're going to reinvest it in these people. Nobody ever does that. Like, in the spur of the moment where you do really want to help somebody out, you're not looking around, how do I make the donation to the city so they can do this?
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what people do. I do this all the time myself. And I know in Toronto, in Barrie, across Canada, we don't have enough funding for the services that people need in order to survive. We know this because otherwise people wouldn't be on the street in the first place. So to say that we cannot give to people who are clearly in need without actually providing any alternatives, basically you're just setting people up to be very sick and potentially die. And you're going to punish people who see that people are suffering, see their humanity, and try to help them. That's not a caring place that I want to live. I don't want to live in any place that acts like this.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
And there you go. That's our conversation earlier with Diana Chan McNally about whether or not that sort of stuff actually works. And to criminalize people who just want to help somebody eat, again, why don't they just make it illegal to be homeless in this country?
This is News Talk Tonight. with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Slow News Day is on the way in about an hour. Also, David Cooper ruins the show in a half an hour. And coming up in about 15 minutes' time, what the hell did I do in a public washroom over the weekend? Yes, a shocking revelation is on the way in 15 minutes' time here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network, where, as a reminder, you can download and enjoy this broadcast wherever you go the next day or who knows, later on in the week. Just follow and subscribe. News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, so they're right there for you when you want. You don't have to search for them. Follow and subscribe News Talk Tonight. It's time now for our friend John Wright, who joins us from Ottawa tonight for Right or Wrong. Is there any particular reason, any work that you can share with us that you're doing in Ottawa this week, John?
Well, I'm actually not doing any work in Ottawa tonight. I am an honorary colonel with the Canadian Forces. I have been for almost 11 years now, almost 12 years, and I'm up to help support our troops here in the nation's capital.
Oh, very good. Okay, a very great cause. So what do you have for us tonight? Because I love the way this segment has, I have to be honest with you, John, when I had the idea for the segment, I thought it'd be fun. You'd bring some cool stats we could have discussions about, but I had no idea that it would kind of tap into many stories or what people are talking about and feeling. So I'm very happy with the work that you bring forward every single week. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, thanks, Jim, because it's always a learning experience for even people like me, because you see so many numbers, but then you actually have a chance to dwell, you know, deep down inside of them. So tonight we're going to take a look at a poll I've just finished doing, and this was for me, because I wanted to know, you know, what are people doing online? Like, are they buying stuff? How often are they doing it? So we're going to learn some things right now about that. So the first thing, right or wrong, when you think back over the last month, how many Canadians do you think actually bought something online to be either picked up or delivered to their home? I'm going to say 56% of Canadians did that. Is that right or wrong?
Wrong. I'm going to say higher, much higher.
You are correct, much higher, 68%. That's 7 in 10 Canadians who ordered something online in the last month. And when you look at it, yeah, I mean, the young kids, 78%. That's amazing. You know,
wow.
The least ordered people are in the province of Quebec at 59, and the rest of the country kind of the same way, you know, across it. So then the next question is, well, how did they order this? Did they order it online from a computer or online from their mobile device? So I'm going to ask you each one of those. So the first one is, right or wrong, 61% of Canadians ordered, of those who ordered something online, 61% ordered it online from their computer, right or wrong?
Wrong.
It is correct. 61% did.
Oh.
But I'm the guy that does the next thing, so I'd be very interested in your response to this. Online from a mobile device, 25% of Canadians, right or wrong, ordered last month online from a mobile device.
I'm going to say, just given the last stat, which I found shocking, that 25 is right.
It's actually incredibly low. I was astonished. This is where you learn so much. I was astonished. 51% of Canadians ordered something from their mobile device online that they paid for to be delivered to their house or to wherever. 61% did it from their computer. So that's half the population is doing online ordering that way. Now, how do they pay for this? So when you look at either of those, you get a multiple choice, okay? So how many, in fact, what would be the top one? Credit card, debit card, e-wallet, or transfer from their bank account? Which one is used the most to order, to pay for their orders? Credit card, debit card, e-wallet, or e-transfer from a bank account?
Probably credit card, although people should be doing it with their debit card, but I'm going to guess credit card.
You are correct. And debit card next, e-wallet the next one, and then e-transfer.
What is e-wallet? Like, I know what an e-transfer is, but what is an e-wallet?
Well, an e-wallet is actually where you can have, like, an Apple wallet, of whatever you like. You can actually have an e-transfer. That's where I actually
I know what an e-transfer is, but an e-wallet is like me paying with my Apple Pay.
Correct.
Oh, okay. I do that too.
When you say that you can tap in and you can do it with an Apple Pay, you know, when you go to Starbucks to get something, it's the same thing there.
Yeah. Okay.
So the question now is, how many of those people who ordered something online to be delivered to their home or go and pick up, how many of them use their credit card? I'm going to say 55%, a majority, more than half, use their credit card. Is that right or wrong?
I'm going to say it's higher than that, so I'm going to say that's wrong.
You are correct. It's 72% of Canadians use their credit card for those who actually are purchasing. So now the next one, what are the top four things that I'm going to name four things, and they are the top four things. You just have to name the number one out of all of this stuff. So of the things that they order online, of the whole list, and I've got everything here, books and basic household electronics, the whole whack of them, but I'm going to tell you the top four. You got to pick the number one. So groceries, food and drink, health and beauty products, clothing and accessories. Those are the four categories. Groceries, food and drink, health and beauty products, clothing and accessories. What is the number one thing that Canadians last month ordered online?
I'm going to say clothing and accessories.
You're absolutely correct. 27% of those ordering online, followed then by those with groceries, 20%, food and drink, 19%, health and beauty products, 18%. And then it just goes on and on and on to a huge list of things. I mean, everything from 1% of the public ordered a pet. There you go.
Yeah, I got to say, I find that very interesting. The one that I was shocked at, though, was that to me, so often I'm like, okay, you know, you're doing some work around the house and you're like, oh, does Home Depot have this sort of thing? Because, okay, I don't have to finish it right now, but if they delivered it tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, or if I can pick it up tomorrow and pre-purchase it and they're going to have it at customer service. That's the way I use it. I don't like, oh, I need to, I need this or that. Let me go to my laptop or desktop. Just seems so easy to do things on the phone, especially with, I think the phone thing becomes easy too, where it's an impulse thing where you're like, oh, I need a new hose for the garden. Let's get Amazon to deliver that. So the desktop versus the laptop is the one that, sorry, the desktop versus the cell phone, or laptop versus cell phone is the one that shocks me.
I'm the cell phone guy, and I use it all the time, and I will use it for Best Buy. And if I did last month, 11% of the Canadian public bought electronics, televisions, tablets, DVD players, all that stuff from Best Buy. 17% of young people aged 18 to 34 who used that app would have got it delivered to their house. Okay, last question. You ready?
Yep.
I want to talk about like how much people spend on this, but I want to look at the high spenders on this.
Okay,
so
got 40 seconds.
Canadians, ready?
Yep.
How many spent between $1,000 and $5,000 of those people who ordered? I'm going to say 6% of Canadians spent up to $5,000.
Okay, I'm going to say that's probably accurate, but I would go lower probably.
It's actually 13%. Of
wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Crazy. John, enjoy your time in Ottawa, and thank you very much for some interesting numbers on online purchasing. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
John Wright, Executive Vice President of Maru Public Opinion. I'm Jim Richards. In 20 minutes, David Cooper ruins the show.